VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Yes, COVID continues to dominate the news. Individuals like President Biden insisted that if you are fully vaxxed and you're fully boosted, you cannot get COVID. Yet he got it. Why? And after a few days of negative tests, he's come back positive again, said to be a rebound case. Dr. Deborah Birx, the White House coronavirus response coordinator, at the time that the vaccines were developed, said recently she wasn't surprised that people who are fully vaxxed and boosted are getting COVID, saying, quote, I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection, and I think we overplayed the vaccines. And yet the White House is talking about the next generation of COVID-19 immunizations. Meanwhile, statistics coming out of the UK indicate that the fully vaccinated population accounted for more than 90% of the deaths attributed to COVID-19. Why is this happening? We invite you to stay tuned for these and other topics today, related topics, with our guest Twyla Braze, the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla is a registered nurse, a certified public health nurse, and author of the 8-time award-winning book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She's a speaker on the daily Health Freedom Minute, heard on stations across the nation. Twyla, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
I am so glad to be here. Thanks so much, Jim.
Well, Twyla, as I'm sure you can remember the president saying the words just a year ago. He was very adamant in the statement, if you are fully vaccinated and boosted, you cannot get COVID. But he got it and then was declared to be over COVID. And then over the weekend, he came down with another case of COVID that they're calling a rebound case. How can this be?
So the fact of the matter is that if you talk to specialists, they'll say everybody's going to get COVID. Now, it's just a matter of which variant, because it is very infectious. It's very transmissible. It's gotten more transmissible as it has gone from one variant to the next, although it has become less virulent, which is good news for everyone. But I believe that the whole deal here is that the president and everybody else wanted to get the American people injected, wanted absolutely every one of us to take this messenger RNA genetic shot. Right. And so they were making promises that clearly Deborah Birx has said, you know, she knew that it wasn't going to keep you from getting COVID. And so whether or not the president actually knew, had anybody actually told him, or those the words he was told to say to help the American public work, walk into the direction that all of the bureaucrats wanted the American public to walk into, you know, I don't think that we're going to know. But, you know, the thing with him getting COVID and then getting re-COVID, well, he hasn't gotten re-COVID, not really. He's gotten COVID and then he took, Paxlovid, and Paxlovid is known for its rebound. Initially, they said it was only 2% rebounding. Now there's some thoughts that it's more like 40%. And, you know, when he was declared free and clear at 5 days, I just thought, okay, well, let's see. I'll just bet he's going to rebound. And he did. So it never really cleared it out of his system. It was there still to come back. I don't know if it hides it for the test, but it's not like he's got a brand new case of COVID. This is the same COVID case.
Okay, so the Paxlovid possibly is masking it. We don't know that then yet for sure. You're saying,
right,
though, that the numbers are increasing of these rebound cases?
Well, what I'm trying to say here is that the rebound, because if you look at even how they take the test to find out whether you have COVID or not, then you'll know that there's a fair amount of false negatives and false positives. There, you know, it's not terribly wonderful type of testing. From the very beginning, the testing that we have done has proven to be, you know, have a lot of errors in it. But the interesting thing about Paxlovid is it seems like people find themselves clear, you know, after 5 days, and then, you know, a day, 2, 3 days later, you know, boom, they've got it again. But I do believe that's not like they got a brand new case, because they have been sitting there quarantined. It's not like they were with anybody else. That somehow it must mask it or make it difficult for the test, you know, to pick it up.
Why? It seems like daily now, the lead story on newscasts are the rising numbers of COVID. Why are these numbers rising?
Why are these numbers rising?
Right.
Was that the question?
Yes, the number of COVID cases.
Okay. Well, because we're not done with COVID. It is a new variety that's out there, new variation on the theme, as it were. And so people are getting it. It is highly transmissible, and everybody is likely to have it and have it more than once. There's lots of people getting it two times, and some have even gotten it three times. One of the things that I would say is for those who have gotten the injection, there are some studies that show that the immune system takes a hit with the injection. And so it's entirely possible that these folks, just like the president who has been, you know, injected twice and boosted twice. I think I've got the numbers right there. Mm-hmm. He's got another one. You know, that it's possible that his immune system, it lowered his defenses, his immune defenses. And so then he was able to get the COVID no matter how much he tried to protect himself. This is an aerosolized virus, which means it's in the air. You know, what I think is most interesting to me when I think about what they knew about Paxlovid is they knew it rebounded. And the fact that they let him go out amongst other people, you know, after the 5 days when he proved himself clear, I'd love to ask the question of, you knew about rebound. Why didn't you just make sure that he was, you know, quarantined for 10 days, not for just five? Because they knew about rebound. Mm-hmm. Nobody has really asked that question. What on earth were you doing letting him out when you've already known that it was rebounding? So who knows how many people he exposed as a result.
Twyla Bray's with us today in Crosstalk. Twyla, I saw a story on WND.com about it indicates that the United Kingdom's Office for National Statistics recently published its data for the period of January 1st through May 31st, showing that deaths rose among the vaccinated month by month while falling among the unvaccinated. In January, they reported 85% of COVID-19 deaths in England were among the vaccinated, 15% among the unvaxxed. In May, the vaxxed accounted for 94% of the deaths, unvaccinated 6%. The expose noted that the defenders of the vaccine argued that 50% of the population has refused the third shot or beyond that, presuming that the vaccinated deaths are largely among the double or single vaxxed. However, they reported 12,442 of the 15,113 overall were among the triple and quadruple vaccinated population. A Mail Online has also indicated the high numbers of people in Australia, a highly vaccinated country there with COVID. Some have indicated the more COVID shots one gets, the thicker they become. Can you explain what's happening here? Why are so many deaths with people who have had so many shots?
Well, let me just talk about one particular study, and I'm sitting here thinking, was it in JAMA or was it in The Lancet? Well, wherever this study was, it's a major study in a major publication. And what it found is they were looking at folks who had, they'd all had COVID. All these people have had COVID, but they compared the vaxxed with the unvaxxed. And it was interesting because they were talking about seroconversion. In other words, sero for your blood, you know, that your blood actually converts to having antibodies. And so after COVID, the vaxxed people, only 40% of them seroconverted. So only 40% of the people who were vaccinated who got COVID got the COVID antibodies. But in the unvaxxed, 93% of them got antibodies. So only 40% of the vaxxed and 93% of the unvaxxed got antibodies. So who's more protected? whose body works the way you want the body to work, which is that you get an infection and then your body builds immunity. Well, for those who are on vax, 93% of their body built immunity, but for those who were vaxxed, only 40% got antibodies to protect them against the next time.
Twyla, we mentioned Dr. Deborah Birx. She was a COVID response coordinator at the White House, but now saying, I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection, and I think we overplayed the vaccines. This came as a shock to a number of people with her coming out and saying that. What's your takeaway?
Well, when she was interviewed and somebody pressed her on that, she said, you know, hope. They hoped. But, you know, they hoped it would work, right? They hoped. But there was, they knew that there was no guarantee that this was going to stop anybody from getting the virus. And on the basis of that, I think, you know, her idea of overplayed or her statement about overplayed, you know, we're talking about people who took an injection, who did not want to take an injection, who are today injured and maybe injured for the rest of their life. We're talking about people who took an injection, who didn't want to take an injection, who have died. We're talking about people who took an injection, who didn't want an injection, I'm sorry, who didn't take the injection, who lost their jobs. Or because they took the injection, they can no longer do their job, like some of the pilots that are now speaking out on Twitter and social media about how they're no longer qualified because of some of the ramifications of taking this injection. You know, we're talking about schools and students who couldn't come in, or students who couldn't go back to college. We're talking about interrupting lives and taking away opportunities and endangering lives for something they knew, that they knew it might not work. So overplayed is an awfully small word for the damage that the government did by using words and pushing the mandate and, you know, doing everything that they did when they knew that it wasn't anything like they were saying it was.
And therefore, people sometimes find it hard to believe what they're hearing from government officials because of past promises made that they're finding out just are not true.
Well, not true, but also incredibly harmful and for some people dangerous. I mean, I think, you know, now the public health officials are worried because parents, lots of parents, have decided not to get the other vaccinations for their children, being worried about what's in those, what should they think, you know. Are they lying about these, you know, or they just don't even want to go in because the COVID vax will be, or the COVID injection will be pushed when they're trying to get the other vaccinations. So there's a lot of distrust that has been built up, and, you know, since the very beginning, since March 2020, because this has always been our position to use persuasion, not coercion, because coercion makes the public not trust the public health.
Mm-hmm. Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Twyla Braze is with us here today from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. We have a COVID update here today, many issues that are going on, and we'll have more coming up here following the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the Ice Age really happen?
Yes, indeed, Chris. There's a great deal of evidence that the Ice Age really happened. It wasn't long ago. It was at the end of Noah's flood. It probably took several hundred years for the Earth to settle back down into the equilibrium we now experience. That readjustment period was primarily the Ice Age. The real key for the Ice Age is more evaporation from the ocean waters, making huge storms of snowfall possible. But the continents were cold, making the storms violent and prolonged. Also, late in the flood was a time of great volcanism, meaning that the Earth's atmosphere was cloudy and shielded the Earth from the sun. So there was more snowfall, less snow melt, and the ice built up. This would have happened in the centuries following the flood. And that's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Braze is with us today, the president, co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. She's a registered nurse. She is a certified public health nurse and author of Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. And her website, by the way, folks, is cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. Twyla, the Biden administration is preparing a sweeping initiative right now to develop what they call the next generation of COVID-19 immunizations. Do you have any optimism that this would be effective?
Well, you know, I think it's very hard to say. I mean, have we even figured out where it came from? What we do know is that Fauci, Dr. Fauci and others, like even Bill Gates, who has said, you know, there's no point in the vax passport because it doesn't matter whether you get the injection or not. It's not going to keep you from passing it to anybody else. It's not going to keep you from getting sick. So there's a lot of people, including Fauci, who have said things like, you know, we need to do a better job next time, or it's not really doing its job, or I can't remember his exact quote. But so now they're promising this new thing with our taxpayer dollars, right? It's all going to come from our taxpayer dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of hope for that. What we should be getting to at some point is herd immunity here, unless this is such a condition caused from something that is truly a bioweapon that makes it very difficult, you know, for us to actually build the kind of immunity. There has always been some concern on the part of certain virologists that giving a vaccine in the middle of a pandemic is a way to cause variant after variant after variant, making it more difficult for anyone to become, for there to be herd immunity across the population. I think there's so many things that we don't know about how this started, about the messenger RNA and how that really works. I guess I don't have a lot of hope for another vaccine. You know, mm-hmm. We're on booster number what? What booster number are we on here to try to do something? And it seems like with every booster, the immunity wanes more and more. And I will say that about that. There is a study that just shows in particular that natural immunity is just as effective as the two dose, a little less effective than the three dose. But the interesting thing about the study is that no matter what, natural immunity wanes slowly, whereas the vaccinations and the boosters, all of them wane quickly.
And by wane slowly, are you talking weeks, months, years?
You know, they didn't actually say that, but given the fact that the boosters are gone in a matter of, the more you get, it seems like it's, you know, weeks. It's not like long duration. It's not like long duration.
Mm-hmm.
I think the second shot was something like, it was a negative 1.1 after 6 months. That was the second shot. And then the booster, it was even shorter than that. So it might have been, you know, 2 months. I can't quite remember, but the fact of the matter is natural immunity, I believe when they're saying that, you know, it's much longer than that. It's clearly longer than the 6 months. I don't know that they actually put a number on it.
Mm-hmm. There's also, the FDA has recently authorized these, millions of doses of the Novavax COVID shot. Is that anything you've been able to study yet? What is the Novavax?
Well, I know that it is more the traditional way of taking a neutered or almost neutered piece of the, that would be a traditional vaccine of whatever the bacteria is. Here they're taking a piece of the spike. And then they're asking your body to rebel against this intruder and create antibodies. And that is a very different thing than the current injections, because the current injections use the messenger RNA to tell your body to make the spike, And then your body is told that after the spike has been made, now the body should react against it. So it introduces a toxin all throughout your body, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of copies throughout your body that your body isn't supposed to react to. So this is taking a small piece and telling your body, which is more like the traditional way of doing a vaccine. And so I would expect that this would be a lot safer for people, but I don't actually want to, you know, say that that's true because I don't know enough.
Mm-hmm. There is also, as you know, the vaccines have rolled out for infants now and up to age five. And the Department of Health and Human Services, they have this aggressive campaign going on now suggesting that loving parents should give their kids the jab. They have posted a public service announcement on their website. I'm going to read the text. It says this, and I quote, "Nothing matters more than keeping them safe. If your child is 6 months or older, you can now help protect them from severe COVID illness by getting them a COVID vaccine. Talk to your child's doctor about vaccines and visit," and they give their website. Your response to this, Twyla, as far as a six-month-old baby up to age five to receive the shot?
76 doctors in Europe, in England, sent a letter to the National Health Service when the FDA approved this, basically telling England, do not do this. There has not been enough study on what the impact is on children. There were only a limited number of children tested. They were only followed for 2 months. Some of them were unblinded before that time. There's great concern about the fact that they don't really have a good idea of the safety. And, you know, I think that American parents, now learning that everything that they were told about the so-called vaccine, that it was going to protect them, that it was going to keep them safe, that they wouldn't be hospitalized, they wouldn't get COVID, you know, on and on and on, are looking at their vulnerable children and going, yeah, I don't think so. And because only 5% of the children, the 20 million children in America that are eligible for this, only 5% of them have gotten their first shot. So there's, and they have found a remarkable, dramatic drop-off. It's like there was this initial surge of children getting it, and now it's just like dropped off dramatically. And so whoever wanted to get it for their children, it looks like, has probably started the process, but the majority of Americans, that's not true.
Hmm. Twyla Bray's with us. Twyla, just before we continue on, give us a word about Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and I know you've got tons of information on your website.
Yeah, Citizens Council for Health Freedom is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and our mission is to protect patient and doctor freedom. You mentioned the book earlier. The third printing of the book, we're about to get it. By the end of this month, we're supposed to have it in hand, this time with an index, because everybody, including the judges who gave it awards, have asked, where is the index? And so this one will have an index. And so anybody who wants it can go to bigbrotherintheexamroom.com. bigbrotherintheexamroom.com, and they can just put their name on the waiting list, and we will send it to them. We have a COVID guide to help people in the process of COVID, and people are still dying from COVID, particularly the vaccinated, and they should be looking at this guide and helping themselves to avoid it, to get the right treatment in the very beginning, the early treatment that's necessary to not be hospitalized, and to avoid long COVID. Or if your listeners have long COVID because it was never treated right, the steps for what to do to help you get out of long COVID is in this guide, which is also on our website at cchfreedom.org. And with the whole face mask thing happening again, go to facefreedom.org, facefreedom.org, and all sorts of information there about face masks and how they don't work, it can be found there.
There is another phenomenon that's happening, and it's hardly a week that goes by that we're not hearing of another healthy star athlete that is having cardiac issues, sudden death. I see a headline that came out recently as well, medical emergencies in spades, vacationers collapse and die suddenly and unexpectedly. There have been people who have just, you know, been out on the beach or something or gone into the water and just collapsed. Is there a connection between this and the shots?
Well, it's interesting because there's a few major media that for just a few cases where the medical examiner has deemed it was a cause, that the vaccine, the shot was a cause, mm-hmm. it has been mentioned. But it's just, you know, people around the world, I mean, I think there are reasons why there are certain athletes like, what's his name? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Adrian Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, right? And then we have the tennis player who has said, Novak, I don't remember his last name, Djokovic, I think. Novak Djokovic, he's like, there's no award, there's nothing that would make me take that and, you know, essentially alter or potentially, you know, be a danger to my physical condition, right? And I think they're looking at some of these athletes around the world where it's actually being reported more than here in the United States, and they're going, yeah, I don't think I'm going to take that risk. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of elderly that have died right after or several months after, but nobody is, you know, a lot of the autopsies aren't being done or they're not being reported or it's just not being looked at. So there's all this suspicion, right? And there's these pathologists who are talking about clots like they've never seen before, or yes. they're talking about the aggressive cancers after the person's cancer had subsided or was in remission, and then they got the shot and suddenly the cancer took off, you know, like a rocket shot. And so do we know? Is it verified? Is anybody really going to say? I think we don't know yet, but there's certainly a lot of suspicion. There's a lot of strange things happening.
Also, we know, and you brought this out too, Twyla, that many people's jobs are on the line. AC New York City fired over 1,750 employees for not receiving the shots. Military is doing a massive purge. And yet at the same time, just last week, Liberty Counsel settled this nation's first class-wide lawsuit for healthcare workers over a COVID shot mandate for more than $10.3 million. This was against the North Shore University Health System in Illinois. A number of more than 500 current and former healthcare workers. This is a major issue that just happened late last week, especially for employees who said, no, I've got religious reasons or medical reasons for not taking the shot.
Right, and actually there was a case with a guy in the Navy too, but mm-hmm. you're right, the firings, the terminations are still continuing, but I think that as, like, this lawsuit, this 3 or 6 you said?
10.3, yeah.
Yeah, 10.3 million lawsuit. This lawsuit is going to give other attorneys, it's going to add to the interest of other attorneys for taking this kind of thing on. And they know, there are people all across the country, from pilots to nurses to doctors to, you know, people in labor unions, you know, that have been subjected to this against their will, or they've lost their job because they refuse to be subjected. And so this is just going to grow. I think the lawsuits are just going to expand.
A quick break here, folks, and then we'll be back with just a couple more issues before we open up phone lines. We're talking with Twyla Brace today, Citizens Council for Health Freedom. The website's given out today, cchfreedom.org. BigBrotherInTheExamRoom.com, BigBrotherInTheExamRoom.com, and FaceFreedom.org. Back in a minute.
Marital conflict is increasing. The commitment to love and to cherish is being thrown away in many relationships. Marriage has been shunned by some and distorted from God's original design by others. The film Amazing Love is a feature-length film depicting a true commitment in marriage. It is the story of a youth director and his wife who take 5 teens from their youth group to the wilderness for a 2-night campout. 2 teen girls then have a sharp argument that causes division. Tensions are high. The youth leader gathers the teens and tells the account of Hosea. Using flashback, the film takes you to Nazareth as the story of Hosea unfolds. A story of commitment, of cherishing vows, of faithfulness, and unconditional love. The DVD, Amazing Love, is available for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Braes is with us today. She is president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla, I know you're well aware of this new global health emergency that was just issued by the World Health Organization pertaining to monkeypox. Your comment.
Well, you know, monkeypox. So I am going to speak a little off the top of my head here because I think there was something I saw over the weekend that apparently the United States has had some sort of little monkeypox minor, you know, spread twice in maybe the last 20 years. And so do not take my word for it, but this is coming out of my brain. So all of your listeners could go and just check that out. Because I just think that's an interesting thing, if I remember correctly, that we may have had it before, but they never did anything. It's just like H1N1, we had it, but they never shut down the schools. You know, there have been other things, but they've never shut down society. They've never claimed, you know, this big emergency. So right now, the World Health Organization has declared this a public health emergency. We hear that the United States might declare it a public health emergency. But what is monkeypox? One, it's not aerosolized, so it's not out in the air. Two, it's by direct and close physical contact. Three, 95.5% of the cases are men. And right now, our own government is telling people, men who have sex with men in particular, to reduce their contacts because they are talking about how this is particularly within that community. So the idea of creating a new public health emergency declaration on monkeypox seems very strange, maybe opportunistic. I'm not certain. Maybe it's another way to get this new vaccine out for monkeypox. Not certain. Sometimes I wonder about the agendas behind things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we see San Francisco just declared a state of emergency. Of all likely places, and we know that there's been some push for the president also to have this, but many attribute the whole COVID matter, the lockdowns, and everything else to the changes in voting in 2020. Do you have any concerns, Twyla, that there's going to be an attempt to use some kind of pandemic, whether it be that of monkeypox or COVID or perhaps something else, to somehow change election laws or make alterations to election laws in order to bring about different results than perhaps the marketplace is destined to give?
Well, I feel like that is speculation that I'm not enough informed about, but what I will say is that when it comes to election, it seems like we can never take something out like that's not possible, that anything is possible if somebody has the power to do it and they think that they can move the election in their direction. What that could be, whether that could be another public health emergency, I don't actually know. But I don't put anything past anyone. Let's just put it that way, because we've seen a lot, we've seen a lot in the last few years.
I'm going to open up our phone lines here, friends, and while we're waiting for your call, we're going to discuss a matter of DNA. But our number to Crosstalk here is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Twyla, I know you have feelings here in regard to personal privacy and so forth, and we are seeing some great efforts to get Americans to give samples of their DNA for research purposes. I mean, we're told that this is going to help doctors, it's going to help medical workers and scientists in the future, developing medicines or shots or whatever it may be. And so many people are being targeted, and in states all across this nation, do you have concerns over people participating in things like this, giving DNA samples?
Yes, I think everybody should be concerned, as particularly because HIPAA does not protect anybody's medical privacy, and that includes their genetic privacy, and because the United States is working its way into a national medical record system, which our organization is trying to stop, we want to rescind HIPAA. We want to get rid of HIPAA and have state laws be the ones that protect you. That's if we had every state that had a genetic privacy law that really protected people or had a medical privacy law that really protected people, we would not be threatened by HIPAA and its lack of protection. And so, you know, for those who want our DNA because it's valuable to them, it's, you know, it's more valuable to them than it is to you because it has become a, you know, I say medical data, and that would include genetic data too, is sort of like the 21st century version of a gold mine, or it's, you know, it's like oil. It's like discovering oil. But it's also in the news recently was the fact that if you're giving your DNA to places like 23andMe, China is very interested. China is building, they want to build the largest genetic database in the world. And China is not who you want to know anything about you. And so we do not want to encourage anyone to just share their DNA willy-nilly, because it can actually become and it could become a national security issue. What does China know about whom? And what could that mean possibly for bioterrorism in the future? We need to be very, very careful about this. This is not something simple or easy. This is actually something that should be thought about very carefully.
Twyla Braid's with us here today. We're going to the phone lines. Our first caller is a listener online calling in from New Zealand. And Joshua, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Twyla. I have a question concerning the reinfection of people. If they got COVID, can they get it again if they're unvaccinated? Because I know of cases who are vaccinated who did get it again. And I know of cases of those who took Paxlovid, then that rebounded. But what about the unvaccinated? Can they get reinfected again? And if so, is that how often, how often does that occur? Is that a major, happen all the time or just very rarely? Or what happens there? And I'll listen to what you have to say.
Great. Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you for that question. So one of the things that I would say about the unvaccinated who get COVID and they get the immunity to that COVID. So they get immunity to the 50 some proteins that are the full complement of the virus itself. Whereas those who have been vaccinated are only vaccinated against one protein, and that's the spike protein. That means that any other COVID that comes along should be less virulent to them because they have already started a natural immune process. But that doesn't mean that they can't get it because every variant has several different proteins. So hopefully what the case here is that they would get it at a lesser level. That said, I just would like everybody within this listening audience to not think that they couldn't be seriously impacted and to prepare for it. And that's why we have our COVID guide at cchfreedom.org so that you can prepare for it. And somebody emailed us and said, I have read your guide. I'm now comfortable. If I get COVID, I know exactly what to do. And so I don't think that we know how many times you could get COVID vaccinated or unvaccinated. But what we do know is it seems like those who have had the injection might have compromised their immune system as compared to those who have not.
We've got Tom calling from Fort Scott, Kansas. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much. And Twyla, we appreciate everything you're doing. And I had COVID back last summer. I didn't get the test or anything, but they said I had symptoms. So my doctor went ahead and prescribed ivermectin and all the vitamins. I was sick for about 5 weeks, but everything worked out all right. But I worked for the government 30 years just in the meat inspection, but I just saw them all written all over all this stuff. Just more power and control. And I said, no, Jesus, we need to trust in him because he is our great physician and our provider. Hmm. That's all I have to say.
Great. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate your call from Fort Scott. Deb is calling from Milwaukee. Deb, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I just finished reading Deborah Burks's new book out, Silent Invasion, and she makes the case. I really got the impression that she only knew about the vaccines what the drug companies were telling her. She didn't know more than anybody else. However, I know she is a renowned AIDS expert, and she does believe the masks do work. If you have COVID, the mask prevents you from spreading it, and if you don't have COVID, the mask prevents you from getting it. And she also makes the case when she was at the White House, she was right under Vice President Pence. It was going around like crazy. She never got COVID because she always wore a mask.
Okay.
She feels if you're outside and you're within 6 feet, no mask is necessary, but you need it inside. And she is a renowned AIDS expert. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deb. Your comment on that issue of masks, Twyla.
Well, the interesting thing about that is even the CDC has now said that the masks do not work. And, of course, they say that the N95s might work. But it is, of course, about being face fit. Now, there are other studies that say that the virus is so small it can still get through the fibers of the N95. Well, I'm not the scientist on that, but what I do know from reading enough studies is absolutely the masks do not work. The cloth mask, the surgical mask, if you've got any space around your face, if it's not face fit, then you've got a way for the aerosolized virus to come in. And, of course, we can just see even with President Biden, who regularly masks himself, that didn't work. There are so many there's so many charts, let's just say that, that have been created about the countries who are like 95-98% masks, and right now, and they're still masks. And right now, their COVID numbers are going through the roof, even though everybody's wearing the mask. So the mask doesn't work. And really, when you've got an aerosolized virus, unfortunately for people who are wearing it regularly, you know, they could be breathing things in rather than fresh air. And so it would be better for them to be unmasked. But if anybody's comfortable wearing a mask, you know, feel free to wear the mask. But it's just even the CDC now has admitted that the mask doesn't work. A North Dakota study just came out, as a matter of fact, just came out, and they didn't find any difference between the mask and the unmasked students.
Hmm. James is calling from Charleston, Illinois. James, you're on the air.
Yes, I really appreciate the information you give us on Crosstalk. We can't get anywhere else, and also for Ms. Brace's difficult work and the challenging work she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. You were starting to talk about DNA. I hope I'm not going a different route here, but the DNA samples. I've always been very suspicious about the DNA samples for anything. My family, for example, has been after me recently to get genealogy stuff done, and I just was hesitant to do that because I do prison and jail ministry. And in Illinois, all felons are required to provide DNA samples, and I just didn't feel like this organization that worked with genealogy had any way of telling me that they had real control over that and that might get into the wrong hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Great, and I appreciate that. We're 5 seconds from the break, so we'll take the break and we'll have Twyla comment further on that issue. Great.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk. Twyla Bray's with us, and so we'll come back and hit this matter of DNA. And to go a little bit further on that, and our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Twyla's websites, cchfreedom.org, bigbrotherintheexamroom.com, and facefreedom.org. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, since the early 90s, I and many others like Tom DeWeese have been warning about Agenda 21, also known now as Agenda 2030. Well, here's a new phrase you need to learn, 30 by 30. The Biden regime, in connection with the Department of Agriculture, the Interior Department, and global entities, are working here in America and around the world to take the farmland from farmers. Right now in the Netherlands, we're seeing big riots by, and rightfully so, the farmers. The government's trying to tell them they have to cut their herds by 50% to protect some kind of clover. Here in America, the 30 by 30 land grab is just that. The federal government wants to take 30% of our land and waterways by 2030. 30% of our land gone, can't be used. The end of private property by 2030. Wake up, Americans.
We'll be right back.
So the caller indicated, listen, I've been asked by family member for genealogy studies to give DNA, and yet I don't find anything from this company that's going to safeguard that DNA. Twyla's going to respond here, but I just want to share an opening paragraph from an article I saw just a week ago. July 25, 2022, came from the newamerican.com, where it says a panel of U.S. lawmakers, along with U.S. Army General Richard Clark, told an audience at the Aspen Security Forum on Friday that the United States is not equipped to handle the national security threat of biological and chemical weapons. Biological samples gathered by various private DNA testing services could be sold and used to develop bioweapons specifically tailored to target certain groups or even individuals. The article goes on from there, but Twyla, that alone is kind of alarming. Your further comments on this DNA issue.
Well, you are correct, and of course he's correct, and the United States is an open sieve in a whole variety of ways when it comes to national security. But if you actually look at like 23andMe or some of these other genealogy sites and you read the very small print, everybody should read the small print. Eventually, you'll probably get to something about giving it to third parties or making it available de-identified to third parties. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know, it was 5, 7, 8 years ago that some scientist actually figured out that he could identify 10% of the DNA samples that he had without any further information. And so the idea that your DNA could be de-identified, that idea is going away more and more all the time. So to never think that that's true. And I think we should not make ourselves susceptible to those who do not have our best interests in mind.
Let's go to Bruce in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Bruce, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. And thank you, Jim and Twyla, for all that you do. I have a couple quick questions. The first one is about testing. Are they still doing that testing where they take that swab and stick it up your nose and try and get DNA or whatever it is from that? Or do they what they're saying? Well, I'm leery about doing something like that. I don't know if they still do that or not.
Twyla?
They do still do that, although oftentimes most people are doing the home test, which doesn't require you to stick it all the way there. But probably if you go into a hospital because you have COVID, they would probably do it all the way back there.
Okay. Is that safe, or would you do that?
Safe. So most people have not had any problem, but some people have actually had a physical difficulty where they've done it wrong or they've done it too far. That's always a possible. You can have injuries.
Okay. And the other question I have is about prostate. Those COVID shots, would that are there any side effects from the shot? Does that affect the prostate? I know what they say it could affect for female reproductive organs. How about the prostate in males?
So there are several studies that are looking at this, including for males, and there is some concern. I have done a Health Freedom Minute on this rather vaguely because I think it's not totally clear yet. And until something is totally clear, I try to stay clear of making any statements about it. I think there's so many things that we don't know about what messenger RNA being injected into humans means for humans that I think there are things that we're going to find out, you know, far into the future here as concerned scientists actually do studies.
Bruce, thank you for the call here today. Diane is next in Sussex, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Diane.
Yes. My name is Diane from Sussex, Wisconsin. I am just wondering, every time somebody goes to a doctor and they have like a sore throat or they have a runny nose or a cough, it seems to me that doctors and clinics are diagnosing this as COVID. And I heard that every time COVID is diagnosed, that the government gives this clinic and doctor money. And it's just getting a little upset that this could be just a cold or a flu rather than COVID. And I was just wondering what the doctor feels about that.
Okay. And Twyla's not a doctor. She's a public health nurse. But Twyla, your comment.
Yes. So there are plenty of shenanigans, if I might call them that, that are taking place as a result of all the money, all the COVID doctors that's flowing from the federal government. And there are lots of states that haven't even used up their COVID doctor, their COVID dollars, and they're trying to figure out how to use them so they don't have to give them back.
whether or not a particular clinic receives money for a positive COVID test, that will probably depend on the clinic. There was definitely money for the testing. There is definitely money for the injections. There's certainly money at the hospital for certain for COVID diagnoses and for putting people on ventilators. There's definitely money in the bill that you could, in the law that you could actually see there, concrete money amounts. But they created all of these pandemic funds out of which they have been funding all sorts of things. Lots of people who got on oxygen that were uninsured, that got all paid for by the government. You know, there's a whole variety of things that the government has paid for. But whether your clinic or a particular clinic is doing this just to get the money, that really just depends on the clinic and whether the money is still available.
Thank you, Diane. Don in Maricopa, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you. My belief is I'm not taking the vaccine, and I resist wearing the mask, and I rely on what God gave me, and that's the strong heart. I take care of my heart and my blood. And I try to eat foods that have antioxidants. And my question is, I have, you know, I'm wondering, you know, I'm over 60, and the demographics in the world, I checked when I was locked down in 2020 in Ukraine. I had 40 days of lockdown. I couldn't go anywhere. So I looked up the demographics of the world is 900 million over 60. And I believe there are some people who always want to take advantage of a crisis.
Don, we're down to 30. Don, we're down to 30 seconds. What quickly is your question?
Well, do you think from the demographics, are they taking advantage of the 900 million that are over 60?
Okay, thank you, Twyla.
I actually don't know that. I'm going to just respond to your question about healthy living. So lots of people who are healthy living are still getting COVID. And I'm going to say one little statistic that I just heard from two doctors who are both taking care of COVID patients. And if they get ivermectin, their patients do not get long COVID. None of their patients that have taken ivermectin have gotten long COVID as long as it was early treatment.
Wow, interesting. I wish we had more time, and we apologize to others on hold. And I know we didn't get all the questions answered here today, but Twyla, thank you for being with us.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
And folks, again, her gateway website, cchfreedom.org. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.